or would notice them in the street. They spoke quietly to Cheeseborough as to one who'd suffered a bereavement, and then talked among themselves and used little gold-propelling pencils in neat little notebooks to make figures dance and jump through hoops. Then quiet agreement was reached, and hands were shaken, which in this circle carried infinitely more weight than any written contract. The first domino had been steadied. The pillars of the world ceased to tremble. The credit bank would open in the morning, and when it did so, bills would be honoured, wages would be paid, the city would be fed. They'd saved the city with gold more easily at this point than any hero could have managed with steel. But in truth, it had not exactly been gold, or even the promise of gold, but more like the fantasy of gold, the fairy dream that the gold is there at the end of the rainbow, and will continue to be there forever, provided, naturally, that you don't go and look. This is known as finance. On the way back home to a simple breakfast, one of them dropped off at the Guild of Assassins to pay his respect to his old friend Lord Downey, during which current affairs were only lightly touched upon. And Reacher Guilt, wherever he had gone, was now certainly the worst insurance risk in the world. The people who guard the rainbow don't like those who get in the way of the sun. Epilogue. Some time after. The figure in the chair did not have long hair or an eye patch. It didn't have a beard, or rather it wasn't intending to have a beard. It hadn't shaved for several days. It groaned. "Ah, Mr. Guilt," said Lord Vetinari, looking up from his playing board. "You are awake, I see. I'm sorry for the manner in which you were brought here, but some quite expensive people wish to see you dead, and I thought it would be a good idea if we had this little meeting before they did."
"I don't know who you're talking about," said the figure. "My name is Randolph Stippler, and I have papers to prove it."
"And wonderful papers they are, Mr. Guilt, but enough of that. No, it is about angels that I wish to talk to you now." Reacher Guilt, wincing occasionally as the aches from 3 days of being carried by a golem made themselves felt, listened in mounting puzzlement to the angelic theories of Lord Vetinari. "Brings me on to my point, Mr. Guilt. The Royal Mint needs an entirely new approach. Frankly, it's moribund and not at all what we need in the century of the anchovy. Yet there is a way forward. In recent months, Mr. Lipvig's celebrated stamps have become a second currency in this city. So light, so easy to carry, you can even send them through the post. Fascinating, Mr. Guilt. At last, people are loosening their grip on the idea that money should be shiny. Do you know that a typical one-penny stamp may change hands up to 12 times before being affixed to an envelope and redeemed? What the Mint needs to see it through is a man who understands the dream of currency. There will be a salary and, I believe, a hat."
"You are offering me a job?"
"Yes, Mr. Stippler," said Vetinari. "And to show the sincerity of my offer, let me point out the door behind you. If at any time in this interview you feel you wish to leave, you have only to step through it and you will never hear from me again." Some little time later, the clerk Drumknot padded into the room. Lord Vetinari was reading a report on the previous night's secret meeting of the Thieves' Guild Inner Council. He tidied up the trays quite noiselessly and then came and stood by Vetinari.
"There are 10 overnights off the clacks, my lord," he said. "It's good to have it back in operation."
"Indeed, yes," said Vetinari, not looking up.
"Otherwise, how in the world would people be able to find out what we want them to think?"
"Any foreign mail?"
"The usual packets, my lord. The Oberwelt one has been most deftly tampered with."
"Ah, dear Lady Margalotta," said Vetinari, smiling.
"I've taken the liberty of removing the stamps for my nephew, my lord," Drumknot went on.
"Of course," said Vetinari, waving a hand.
Drumknot looked around the office and focused on the slab where the little stone armies were endlessly in combat. "Ah, I see you have won, my lord," he said.
"Yes, I must make a note of the gambit."
"But Mr. Guilt, I notice, is not here."
Vetinari sighed. "You have to admire a man who really believes in freedom of choice," he said, looking at the open doorway. "Sadly, he did not believe in angels."